Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to take a look for a few moments with you today at Isaiah chapter 35. The middle of Isaiah 35 is our lesson for today, but I wanted you to consider the entire chapter so that when you have a chance this week, you can go home and read the whole chapter. It is a promise of the coming of the kingdom of God and the King, the Messiah. Isaiah was writing in the 700s BC. That means 700 and some years before Jesus was born, let alone became a man, suffered and died and rose again. So it's important for you to know that by the Holy Ghost, Isaiah the prophet foretold the coming of the Messiah, the coming of the Messianic kingdom, the coming of the church, the New Testament, all of these things, and finally, the coming of the kingdom of glory. Now, in verses 3 and 4, we give the purpose for what Isaiah is writing. Notice that he says here in verse 3, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Now, there were many impenitent, hard-hearted, unbelieving people in the nation of Israel in those days. But there was, as there always is, a faithful remnant. And sometimes the faithful remnant of whom we are members, right? Sometimes those faithful remnants become discouraged. They become weak and they lose their stout-heartedness. Why? Because they see the hard-hearted evil of the world in which they must live, and they see their brothers and sisters living so far below what they ought to believe, teach, and confess. Just like you and I living in today's world. As we look at the way our culture is going, we are sometimes annoyed, but mostly we are sorrowed and frustrated by it. We want that people would come to the knowledge of Christ, but they insist that they found something better. And not only that, they insist that we're now the bad guys. And so we are often discouraged. When we look at the course of the world that we're living in today, we are often discouraged. We often become weak and we often become directionless and we don't know what to do to serve the Lord faithfully. And not only that, when we look to the churches across the fruited plain, what do we see? We see apostasy. We see man's word placed where God's word ought to be. We see people worshiping in accordance with the works of the flesh rather than in the spirit and in truth. And so the church is meeting the challenge of the modern world by caving in. And we're watching it happen. We're doing the best that we can to keep our heads above water. Sometimes we take a dip under for a little bit, but by the grace of God, He keeps us and he continues to help us, to be merciful to us in our weakness. And He gives us His sure word of truth to strengthen the weak hands, to confirm the feeble knees, and to say to them who are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. All right, so that's why this passage is given by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, so that the faithful remnant, discouraged though they may be at times, may be renewed in their faith, may be strengthened in their profession, may be renewed in the direction of their lives for the service of God, for the glory of God and the benefit of the neighbor. He gave this word to us to strengthen our weak hands and to confirm our weak knees so that we may be renewed, that repenting of our weakness and our sin, we may once again know what it means to stand firmly where God's word stands. So Isaiah begins to talk about what's coming. He says, be strong and fear not. Behold, your God will come with a vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Now here you have a picture of the two descriptions of Christ. The one where he comes in vengeance and recompense, and the other where he comes as a savior. All right? The Old Testament teaches, and the New Testament teaches quite clearly, that first the Messiah comes into the world in order to redeem and save sinners. Then, when the gospel is preached in the whole world for a witness, he will come again on the last day as the judge. He will come with vengeance, he will come with a recompense, but for us, that day, even that frightening day of judgment and wrath, will be for us a deliverance and a salvation. All right, so he begins chapter 35 by saying this, the wilderness and the solitary place shall be glad for them. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as a rose. So you see the picture here of a dry, parched desert, arid, nothing, wilderness. And yet, something is going to happen that brings gladness and rejoicing. Something's going to make the desert blossom like a rose. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy, singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it. Lebanon was a place where big cedar trees grew, all right? And the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. Carmel was a very fruitful mountain in northern Israel, and the plain of Sharon was a place that was well known for its agriculture and its fruitfulness. So we get this picture, a dry wilderness desert suddenly blossoms to life with all manner of goodness and blessing. What's he describing here? He's talking about when the Messiah comes. He's saying to a sinful nation, but mostly to the faithful remnant who were discouraged by the faithlessness of their brethren, hang in there. It's going to happen. Hang in there. There is coming the time when the Messiah will come, and it will be like a desert blooming forth with every kind of abundance. And that's when he says, they shall see the glory of God and the excellency of our God. When this takes place, the people will see, whether they recognize it or not, they will see the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Remember that in the person of Jesus Christ, God Almighty took upon himself human flesh, and he dwelt among us, and he manifested his glory among us. Think of the transfiguration. Think of his turning the water into wine. Think of the feeding of the 5,000. Think of Jesus walking on the water in the midst of a storm. Just like it says of the Lord God in the book of Psalms, thy path is through the seas, and yet thy footsteps are unseen. You see, in Jesus, the glory of God is manifested. And Isaiah here tells us of it. He says, say to the fearful and the discouraged, your God will come, and he will come with a vengeance and with recompense. He will come and save you. So think of first coming. He paid for my sins in full. He died and rose again that I may be saved. He has done the work of redemption. Now the word of God is being preached in all the world to give everyone an opportunity to come to the Lord Jesus Christ and be saved. But on the last day known to God, he will come again with vengeance. He will come again with a recompense. And all those who refuse to come, all those who persisted in their impenitence and sin, all those who thought it was a big joke, will find out that all along God's been playing hardball. And they thought he was playing softball. All right. When the Messiah comes, notice what it says in verse 5. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb sing. Well, we know that this stuff happened, literally speaking, literally, in the public ministry of Jesus. These describe to a T the miracles that he did. And there were other miracles that he did that are not listed in this passage for us. But here, we're seeing a description of what we can easily read in the Gospels, right? The eyes of the blind shall be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped, the lame man leap, the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Now, remember this, that the miracles of Christ serve to confirm his word. The miracles of Christ are also signs for us. When we read of the biblical miracles, they are signs to us of two things. Number one, they are a sign of the spiritual blessings and benefits that God gives to everyone who believes in Christ. In Christ, your eyes are opened. In Christ, your ears are opened. In Christ, you are able to serve the Lord and not limp along as a cripple, but serve the Lord in strength. And in Christ, your tongue is able to sing the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. So, the miracles of Christ picture for us the spiritual benefits that we all receive, that God, the Lord Jesus, right now, as you sit here and listen to me, he's richly giving you these things. He is vouchsafing them to you. When you come to receive the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament today, he is giving his body and blood to you as a pledge of his gracious promises. so that you may be sure that all of his benefits are yours in Christ. All right? Then he goes on in the end of the verse, he says, in the wilderness, waters break out and streams in the desert. So the wilderness suddenly becomes fruitful, a water-filled paradise. What is that referring to? It's referring to the gospel being taken throughout this sinful world. Wherever the word of God and the sacraments are, there is a desert which is being made a water playland. All right? This is the thing that we need to understand about. Sometimes people don't get the idea that in the Old Testament, New Testament truths are often spoken of in Old Testament terminology. And so here it says that water shall break out in the wilderness. What does that mean? It means that refreshing, water is refreshing and sustaining, and water breaks out where there was no water before. Man's word, man is never the genesis of the doctrine and truth of the Christian faith, all right? The Lord is the one who sends his word. The Lord is the one who gives us his word. It doesn't generate from us. It did not proceed from the will of man, but it was holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. And so here today, our little church is a brimming pool of refreshing water. Why? Because we have the Word of God and we have the Holy Sacraments, and therefore God gives us his sustaining grace. And whatever we may or may not be, we know this: we have what we need for everlasting life. So he says, the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of water. This is happening everywhere where God's word is preached and the sacraments are administered according to his institution. In the habitation of dragons, the devil, where each leg shall be grass with reeds and rushes. So wherever the devil makes a stand, there comes the church with the word of God and the holy sacraments instituted by Jesus, and the devil has to give way for the holy church of God in the name of Jesus Christ, because he is Lord of all and he has defeated Satan on behalf of the fallen human race. One more little thing to talk about today. The highway. It says in verse 8, a highway shall be there, and a path, and it shall be called the Way of Holiness. This is where we are. We are on the highway to heaven. We are on the highway of holiness. We were placed there in our baptism. We have been sustained there as we have, as pilgrims, been spending our lives marching towards Zion. It says here, the way of holiness, the unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those. It shall be for the righteous. It shall be for the believers, not for the unclean. All right? And so here, this way of holiness that we are on, the way of our life in this world as pilgrims, our hearts are aimed at heaven and eternal glory. We know that we have it because Christ has once and for all purchased and won it for us. But we are taking every day one step closer, another step closer. The way of holiness is what we are on. And while we are on it, we will not be led astray. Notice that it says in verse 8, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err in it. So those traveling on this road, even if they are foolish, they won't get lost. Nobody, unless, as long as they want to be on that road and be faithful and get to the eternal city, they will never get off at the wrong exit. God has made the way plain. It is the way that is presented to us in the Word, the way of the gospel, the way of the good news, the way of the free gift of everlasting life in Jesus Christ. Goes on to say, no lion shall be there, nor any ravenous beast shall go up thereon. It shall not be found there. So those on the highway to heaven are under God's special promise of protection. The devil will not defeat us, and the demons will not defeat us. We will, and the world certainly will not defeat us. As we cling to the Word and walk on the way of holiness, we have the promise of God's protection and His guidance. And it says, who shall be on this road? The redeemed shall walk there. You are the redeemed. And it says, the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion. You are the ransomed of the Lord, and you shall come to Zion. Why? Because the purchase price of your ransom is the precious blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. And not only that, not only will you come to Zion, but you will come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon your heads, and you shall obtain joy and gladness. The Bible says that the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared for them that love Him. But these things are what will fill your hearts with joy and gladness. And finally, sorrow and sighing shall flee away. Or as the book of Revelation says, God will wipe away all tears from all flesh, from all eyes, and all sorrow will be wiped away. And we will walk with the Lamb in the golden pastures of the kingdom of glory. So here, today, we had a chance to look at how Isaiah the prophet, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, had given this word from the Lord, predicting the coming of the Christ and the kingdom of grace and glory, so that we who are often discouraged, we who are often unsure, we who are often suffering various types of tribulation, that we might be strengthened, we might be confirmed, and we might not have a fearful heart, but a bold heart that says, our God will come. He will come and save us. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.